Vamos.
Best you sense. For to be together in the presence of the Lord once again. Is my voice there? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Maybe we can open the word of prayer. I think it's just going to be just a few songs and then brother will come just to open the word of prayer. Sister or brother, if you can find John was in the spirit, we will start after prayer. Heavenly Father, we are coming into your presence, O Lord. How we desire that you will be present, O Lord. When we gather, we want to gather in your name. Heavenly Father, we ask, O Lord, whatever it is, O Lord, what we will do, what will be said and done, may that be for your glory, O Lord. We even ask, O Lord, these prayer petitions that, you, Lord, you will answer. Bless brother who is preparing himself. Let him get inspiration. Let him touch our souls with your word, Lord. We commend our things and everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. John was in the spirit. John was in the spirit. On the Lord's day, he heard a voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah, behold. I live, behold, I live, behold. I live forevermore. John was in the spirit. On the Lord's day, he heard a voice from heaven. And this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah, behold. I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, deeper, yet me go. Oh, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Deeper yet I pray, and higher every day. So blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word, deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect way. I pray every
Blessed Lord, in thy precious holy Deepa, David, Costa, Trias, Deepa, let me go. Set in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Fire thy brain and higher every day. Blessed Lord, in thy precious holy blood, keep higher every day, Jesus. Heal all conflict, finds me conquer in his own image, perfected at last. Fire thy brain and high every day. And blessed Lord, in thy precious home. There is a name I love to hear. Amen. That's the Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its verse. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, thou Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, oh, Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me all her Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me all his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Love Jesus. Jesus, because he first loved me, it tells me what my Father had in store for every day. And thou, dark sun path, yield sunshine all the way. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who is so bears a part that none can bear below. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Jesus is ever shining, ever shining, Jesus. Anno Peña, Jesus is ever shining. Anno Peña, Anno Peña, Anno Peña. No peña, no peña. Jesus is ever shining, Amen. I believe Paul and Silas, they could testify saying, they prayed that night and he answered their prayer. Maybe this is maybe last song and maybe last brother, if you can come just after this song. Amen. In prisoner's chain with pleading stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their prayer began to see the chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you hope. I give you peace. You are the love, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find, you're in the prison in your mind, reach out and pray. Defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you hope. I give you praise. You are the love, the truth. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life, you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you hope, I give you praise. You are the love, the truth. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Shalom saints, God bless. Can I just check the microphone? Because Brother Vlad's mic to me was really distorted. I don't know if it's our internet connection here, but How is the sound? Is okay? You can hear, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Brother Vlad, for that. We want to bless his name this evening, saints. We've come before him in prayer. There's people very busy at the moment running up and down. I know Brother Max was at the airport and the saints he was supposed to pick up have been delayed until later on in the evening. So he's backwards and forwards and so forth. We know what it's like before weddings, before big functions. So it's good for us in our homes this evening to come to lift up the hands of all of the people that are involved in these things. For our special service on Sunday, having a lot of visitors coming, we have Pastor Philemon preaching for us. We know that the power in a service is in prayer. How much we pray, how much we come and put it before the Lord. And that's why we just have an opportunity upon this evening to pray for these things, to come and bring these needs before the Lord. And that is our desire, just to come and lay everything upon the altar. Let's open our scripture from John chapter 2. Before we come to pray, we'll take a bit of a thought, then we'll pray, maybe take a little bit more of a thought and then put our requests. But in John chapter 2, this is the very first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to glean a few things from here just before we come to pray. This is John 2 from verse 1. John 2, 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Father, what a blessing that it is to think about that. And Jesus, we're so glad that this evening you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you've never changed, Lord. Father, we can come unto you the same way that they did and bring our needs before thee upon this evening, Lord. And Jesus, you're the same one who's still moved and touched by our needs and our necessities and the feelings of your people. So won't you help us and quicken us unto prayer? Thank you for song worship. Thank you for opportunity to sing unto thee upon this evening, Lord. Now, Father, may you minister us an entrance to us. Through your word, we pray upon this evening, Lord, to move beyond the veil of flesh, to move beyond our human minds, to move beyond, Lord, that which is mortal, Lord. And Father, to come unto thee, Lord, to commune in the realm of the supernatural is our desire. That, Lord, you may quicken us unto prayer. Father, we may have things that we think we want to pray about. But as we draw near to you, Father, we know that you will lead us and guide us to pray according to your will, because you know the things that we need to be praying about upon this evening. So, Father, bless your servants upon this evening. Bless your sons and daughters. Bless your word unto us. Quicken us now. Unto prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's be seated. If we speak about this first miracle, you know, the first thing we'll see that Jesus is invited to this wedding. It's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And as with any wedding or any function, if it's a youth camp, a convention, even to go on holiday, things never go according to plan. You know, so here they're at the wedding, they run out of wine. Hey, there's still time to go. What's going to be done? You know, the best laid plans have shortcomings. We as mortal beings, as human beings, we have blind spots. You know, we think we have everything covered, and then the real thing comes and we find out, oh, we forgot about this or what about that? So I think it's a really, really good thing upon this evening for us to do exactly the same as this couple did at Cana, as we're coming up to the wedding now on Monday, and know all the things that need to be done, and we can make all of our checklists, and we can get so many people involved trying to do things, but there's always the potential, there's always the possibility that you're going to miss out some important something, and this isn't going to be where it's supposed to be at the right time. And those can be awkward situations. They can be quite embarrassing situations. And that's what exactly could easily have happened to this couple. But the great thing that they had done, what saved them from the embarrassment, was that invited Jesus to come to their wedding. And I think that's a great thing for us to do. That invited Jesus and his disciples to come along to the wedding. And just that very thing which they did, sending an invitation out to Jesus and his disciples to come to their marriage, was what saved them now from a very awkward situation in front of all of their guests when they ran out of wine. And I think there's maybe just a lesson for us to learn from there. Is the greatest thing we can do in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of arranging for our meetings for Sunday, getting another venue, arranging buses, arranging all these things that need to be done. We just want to make sure that the most important thing is done, is that Jesus is invited, that he is given an invitation to the feast, because we're going to need him in this life. And whatever we do, whatever we try to achieve, whatever we try to arrange, we need him to cover like it says, Jesus, we need Jesus. He'll say to us, I've got your back. We need that. We need these because our human limitations limit us so much. And we need him to grant us grace. So where they did well was they made sure that Jesus was with them in all the things that they did. So here he came along. And the good thing about him, when he came to this feast, it was very different than when he went to Simon the Pharisee, because Jesus obviously felt at home in this wedding. Because when he went to Simon the Pharisee's house, he never felt at home and he couldn't show forth his glory. But the Bible tells us in verse 11 that Jesus manifested forth his glory. We see his power of transformation. We see him transforming water into wine. Now we see him meeting a very pressing need in a miraculous way. It was because that made Jesus feel welcome at the feast. And I think that's a really, really important thing for us to remember as well. As much as we focus on other people and other this and that's going to be there, but the most important one, we want to feel at home in any function that we have. We want Jesus to be the master. We want him to feel at home because he's the one that makes all the difference. He can do the things at the feast which nobody else can do at the feast. Now, when we run to the limitations of what we can do, like this couple did in Cana, then we need his grace. We need him to be there to kick in to do the things that we can't do. And he's very faithful to do it. When you've done your best, when you've made him feel welcome, you gave him that invitation, and then you hit the shortcoming, then you hit the mountain which you can't tunnel through, or you hit the river that you find is uncrossable, that's when now he kicks in and he specializes in things that we cannot do. That's a really, really wonderful thing to think about, is to make him welcome. Make sure that Jesus is welcome in everything that you do. Make him feel appreciated. Make him feel at home. Simon didn't do that to him. In Simon the Pharisee's house, Jesus was sitting with dirty feet. He was sitting, he was sweaty. And he hadn't had a kiss of welcome. He wasn't feeling at home. So he never manifested who he was. The atmosphere wasn't right, but it was very different than what was happening here at this wedding in Canaan. And now when they got to a situation that could have been very awkward, very embarrassing in the wedding, there's no wine. Obviously they weren't the richest of couples. They just had so much wine. Maybe Jesus came with his disciples. Maybe they didn't expect so many people to be coming. So they found themselves in this kind of a situation. And it's just the nature of Jesus. The Bible says he'll never allow them that trust in him to be ashamed. He'll never allow his children to be embarrassed. If you've done your best, you trust in him, he'll always cover the gap, because Jesus always spans the breach. He always steps into the gap. When you've got a gap that you didn't realize is a breach, there's a hole in your arrangements and your plans, the grace of God will be looking down at that the way that it did in this situation. And Jesus' nature is always to step into the breach. He's the great Jacob's ladder stretched between the heaven and the earth. He's the gap between us and heaven. He's always willing to come and stand in the gap when there's a gap to do these kind of things for us. And that's why it's such a blessed thing to walk with him, because he sees the things that you and I miss. He sees the things that we've overlooked. And he doesn't want his children to be embarrassed. He doesn't want you know, his children to bear an unnecessary reproach. You know, so as long as he's there and you've made him welcome, he kicks in and you find all of a sudden everything just goes smoothly. And you look at it afterwards and say, but wow, that was the grace of God. That shouldn't have worked the way that it did. We had forgotten about this and forgotten about that. But it's just the goodness of the Lord because of his grace. In this story, it tells us that Jesus says to Mary, it's not yet my time. You know, it wasn't yet time for him to manifest his glory publicly. Because his glory is supposed to follow his word. So you're supposed to come and preach the word first, bring the beatitudes and his doctrine, and then the glory would follow to back up the word. So he's saying, look, it's not yet my time to do this. But yet, although it's not the season for him to show forth his glory publicly, yet he's moved by the situation of this couple. He's looking down and he's saying, this is such a fine couple. Now, there's a lot of things going on around them here, which, you know, which could be embarrassing here, but you know, I'm going to step in. I'm going to make everything work out right. In fact, it's going to work out to be the best marriage feast that anybody's ever been to. Yeah, he can transform things like that. Not only can he transform water into wine, but he can transform any situation. He can take a situation that could have been a very difficult one. He can transform it into such a blessing. If you just allow him to be involved and just make sure that you wash his feet, put on the satin slippers, you know, you give him the ointment, so he anoints himself, you give him the kiss of welcome, give him the seat of honor, give him first place in everything that's done, and you'll never be embarrassed in your life. You know, no matter how difficult, Satan may even think he's ambushed you. Satan may really try to intervene, but the Lord, because of his compassion, will always look down in those situations. And his mercy will move on behalf of his children. And he'll manifest his glory to make sure that everything works the way that it's supposed to work. You know, so it really shows the goodness of the Lord here. That Jesus' heart was moved by the situation that this young couple found themselves in around their wedding. And he was interested personally in what was taking place. And then he got personally involved to ensure that everything was successful in this wedding. And friends, he's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And he's been invited into this wedding from the beginning. He's been invited into our youth camp coming up from the beginning. But we just want to make sure that he feels welcome. We just want to come before him and lift these things up to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, now there may be things we haven't covered here. Maybe we've forgotten certain things. Maybe Satan has certain traps set for us on the day. Maybe, you know, the bus will have a burst tire or whatever that it's going to be. But Jesus, we're looking for you. We're asking of you to manifest your glory because you said none that trust in you will ever be put to shame. So Lord, we're looking at you to be the one who can transform any situation and bring glory out of it. You can take water and you can turn it into the finest wine. So you can take any situation and turn it into a blessing. And that's where you're putting our trust in the Lord in these things. So the need that this couple had became Jesus' opportunity to manifest his glory. Yeah, and that's going to be the same in you and my life, friends. Our needs are his opportunities. When you've made him welcome, when he's Lord of your life, and when you worship him and you just give him a place that he feels comfortable, you keep an atmosphere in your life, keep an atmosphere in your home, when Jesus comes, you know, the dove is happy to come. Oh, it doesn't matter what situations come in life, whatever opportunities come, whatever gaps come, whatever misfortunes, so forth, unforeseen circumstances, they become an opportunity for him. And he's moved to move on behalf of your situation. And you think of it, he's so much moved on behalf of them. He showed such personal care for them that they tasted wine that people had never tasted before. This was wine of a divine quality. You know, no one had ever, the master of the feast had never tasted wine like this. So when it seemed like it was a disaster, there's no wine, people ended up tasting wine they'd never tasted before. Oh, friends, that's how the Lord can transform your situation and my situation. He can take our it says we put on beauty for ashes. He can take your ashes, take you off the ash heap, transform your situation just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he can turn your mourning into dancing, the Bible says. He can just change the situation because when he comes with the power of transformation. And they needed that power of transformation to work on behalf of them in this wedding, to transform this water into wine, because they had no idea themselves How are we going to get past this problem? They wanted this to move and to work. And they'd come beyond their human limit, come to their human limitations now. And that's when grace moved. That's when it came and rewrote the script. And everything now started to be transformed from what it could have been to what it became in the end. And he'll do it every single time. But don't forget, it says in verse 3, and when they wanted wine, you know, so they'd run out of wine. Jesus didn't move until they ran out of wine. And many times in our situations, it's like it as well. He doesn't move in our situation until we come to the end of ourselves. There's nothing more we can do. And while there's still a little bit of wine there, you think, okay, let's try to, like if you watch The Chosen, maybe we can water it down a little bit. Let's see what we can do. But he waits for us to get to the end of ourselves. And it's okay, you've had your turn. You've been faithful. You invited me to the feast. You've done everything to make me feel at home. Now let me repay you for what you've done. Let me show you my bounty, the bounties of my grace. And that's what he loves to do, because it was a divine opportunity when they came to the end of themselves. But we need to learn a little bit before we come to prayer from Mary, because Mary was the one who got Jesus to manifest his glory in the way that he did. And look at her reproach. It says in verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. she knew Jesus. I mean, Jesus was born of her naturally speaking. Now he's moving into his ministry. Now the word is manifesting itself. It's not just Jesus who she's always lived together with, but now there's the glory is starting to manifest inside of him. And she approaches him, but she knows his heart. She knows, look, if I just tell him about the need, I don't need to tell him what the solution is. I don't need to tell him what he needs to do. All I need to do is tell him the need. And I know his heart is tender. I know that he's touched by the feelings or infirmities. As soon as he knows that there's a need, he's not going to just sit there in the chair and do nothing about it. Friends, that's one of the real, real keys and the secrets. Just telling him your trouble is enough. Don't tell him the answer. He knows the answer. Just trust him for that. Just come before him and tell him of your trouble and say, Lord, you know the need that I have. And then just leave it in his hands, because you've left it in the most capable of hands. Mary didn't have any idea how this situation was going to be resolved. She didn't. She didn't know inside of herself what it is that needed to be done. But she knew Jesus. And she knew, if I just tell him, they've run out of wine, that's all that I need to do. Then I just need to step back. And then we just let him, because of his nature, because of his presence, because of his the glory that's inside of him, I'll just allow him to take care of the situation. And that's what she did. So the first thing she did, she told him the trouble. Yeah, she knew that's going to be sufficient. And the second thing, like I'm saying, she never told him what to do, but she left that in his hands. And finally, she said to the servants in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So she knew, all we've got to do now is just be sensitive and be obedient to what he tells us. You know, he's the one who has the answer. He knows what needs to be done, but we need now to be sensitive. And she told those servants, whatever he says to you, just do exactly what he says. And friends, that's the best way to approach the Lord. Just come before him, pour out your heart before him, tell him of what you're going through, commit it into his hands, then wait. And then just be obedient. Now, what is the principle? This is to trust and obey. Yeah, you got to trust in him and then you obey him. You put your trust in him that he's moved by your situation, that he's personally interested in your situation, that he'll personally get involved in your situation because you're his child. You know, he gave an invitation to believe in him. You accepted his invitation. You gave him an invitation to become Lord of your life. He always takes you at your invitation. Now he comes into you. You make him feel welcome. And whenever these situations come up, whenever these opportunities come up, put it before the Lord and then wait to see what it is that he wants you to do. And now to get on to the point, these servants now, they waited now. They weren't far away from Jesus. They didn't go back to their business. Mary had told them, whatever he tells you, do. They must have stood just nearby saying, we're waiting at our master's bidding. There's nothing more we can do. We need him. We need to respond to what it is that he's going to tell us to do. And in verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And it says, and they filled them up to the brim. It's as simple as that. The word came forth concerning that situation. Go and fill those water pots with water. And they knew this is going to be something. So they went and they filled them right up to the brim. No, they didn't fill them halfway. They didn't fill them three quarters. The fuller they could fill these vessels, the greater the blessing was going to be. Yeah, the more wine they were going to have, this divine wine that Jesus was going to produce for them. So when Jesus told them that, they simply had to obey. And friends, that's the wonderful thing about prayer, because prayer gives you a sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You know, when your mind has been full and confused because of the complexity of the day, because of the busyness of your job, of college, or your domestic situation, you've been through this, you've been offended by that, disappointed by this, by coming to prayer, now by coming to his feet, by coming into that atmosphere, getting in the spirit, and coming and laying everything down at his feet, coming and yielding yourself, and coming, moving from time into eternity, from mortality into immortality, from the natural world into the supernatural world. You start becoming sensitive now to him, to his voice and to his leadership now. And then now the solution to your problem, you start speaking to about it. And friends, it's normally very, very simple. Jesus here, when he was saying to these servants, he never told them to do anything complicated. They didn't need to do anything complicated. They just needed to go and get those jars and fill them to the brim with water. That's what he was saying. And friends, you'll find the solution to your problem is just as simple. You know, you might be waiting upon the Lord for something, and he'll just, when you're in prayer, yield it, and you're just worshiping the Lord in prayer. This Holy Ghost comes and quickens your soul. Phone a certain person, or go to a certain place, or speak to so-and-so on Monday. You know, you find it's such a simple thing. That's how Mary told them, whatever it is that he tells you to do, do it. Because she knew, we've committed this issue to him. His heart is soft. He's full of compassion. He won't leave the situation the way that it is. Yeah, but he's the one who knows how to transform the situation. So we need to play our part, and he'll play his part. So friends, prayer is such an important part in that, because they had a part to play. Very, very simple. And when now they fill these jars to the brim, the next thing he told them in verse 8, he said, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. So first that you just fill it up right to the brim. Then they waited now to say, okay, Lord, you've told us, now we're waiting for you. We've played our part. Then he told them, okay, I've now done my part. We don't even see Jesus praying. We don't even see him using spoken word. Just the power of his will, whatever. Maybe he just prayed inside of himself, whatever that it was. But it transformed that water into wine. Those six jars. You know, so much water was there, and it was transformed into the finest of the wine. Just because Jesus' heart was set to resolve this situation that was there, because his children had a need. And then now he told them, okay, go and take and draw out and give it to the governor of the feast that he can taste of this new wine. Oh, my friends, it's quite a thing to do. It's not complicated. When Peter was in the great hour of need, he had come to the end of himself. He's fished all night, caught no fish. Whatever's going on inside of his life, Jesus comes to him. It was so simple. Cast out and let down your nets. Yeah, he heard this voice. And all he had to do was respond to that voice. And at first he said, but I've fished all night and we caught no fish. And then Jesus just looked at him, and that atmosphere started to minister to him. And then he says, at thy word, Lord, I'll cast down the net. And that's what it is, friends. Just coming before him. The Lord knows what needs to be done for Sunday. The Lord knows what needs to be done for the wedding that we haven't thought about. But as we come before the Lord, as we pray for all of these situations, the same one who instructed them to do what they did to meet the need that was there is the same one that will speak to the right people, will move people from place to place, will change circumstances, transform situations so that everything works according to his will. So that there's no embarrassment, awkwardness, gaps, but everything will just work out for his glory, because this was a manifestation of his glory. And that's what he did. He manifest his glory to help this couple at the feast. And may he do the same in response to our prayer as he did it as response to Mary's prayer. May his glory be manifest, and may this just be a blessing from the beginning to the end. that his name may be glorified. That's what we're looking for. I'm sure you believe the same as me. And friends, think of it. This first miracle, where did the great Jehovah choose for the first miracle of Jesus to be performed? Was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. You know, it wasn't in a Jerusalem. Yeah, it wasn't among the aristocrats. It wasn't among the high people, the high society of the world. God hides himself in simplicity. He just came down among his children that had gathered in Cana of Galilee. No, the prophet speaks about it in the message, why it had to be shepherds. He says he bypasses the nobles and he condescends down to the nobodies. You know? Yeah, so what is it? What lesson is there for us to learn from this? Is that, friends, when we go to the wedding, we must dress as smart and beautiful as we can. We must make everything as beautiful as we can, but we must still be humble inside of our hearts. Because the Lord only manifests his glory amidst the humble. You know, so although the outward adornment must be beautiful because that's the occasion that we're going for, but you should never, ever lose the humility of heart. We should never, ever lose that attitude that makes him feel at home. We should never become puffed up or proud or competitive or, you know, confrontational and claiming our rights. You know, but why did this? No, friends. We need to stay as lambs in every situation that there is. And these, the Lord, he desired to manifest his glory for the first time. And he looked down and he found in a most insignificant place, Cana of Galilee, at a wedding, that this was the place that he was first going to just bestow and show forth his glory. Because there was the right atmosphere there that made him feel at home, that invited him to the feast, that made him and his disciples feel at home. And now came a genuine need, and the atmosphere was right. The people were in one accord, whatever was happening at that place, now he could manifest himself. And that's what we desire on Sunday as we come to church, that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. On Monday, as we come to the wedding, that the Lord's glory may be manifest, that we'll rejoice in the presence of the Lord at this occasion that's coming before us. He always condescends down, the prophet says, to people of low estate. No, to people that are poor in spirit, people that are not proud and arrogant and think that there's somebody, but to the people that know I'm nothing apart from you. I'm nothing without you, Lord. No, I'm just a branch. You are the vine. Without you, I can do nothing. But in you, I can do all things, you know, through you, through Christ who strengthens me. As we come to a close, when they now gave this wine to the ruler of the feast, he had never tasted wine like this before. I mean, you can never have a more excellent wine than wine which is created by Jesus himself. He never had. And that's why he called now the groom and he says, what's going on? You normally should serve the best wine at first before people get tired and people have drunk so much wine that they don't even bother about the wine that they're drinking anymore. But you've kept the best to last. Ah, friends, what a thing that is. You know, when Jesus met the needs of these people, he didn't do it sparingly. When he saw they had a need, he gave them the best. And that's the nature of the Lord, friends. You know, that's why Jesus said, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. Now, if you're looking for a house, ask for a blessed house, one that you can rejoice in the Lord. No, not that you can be proud. No, we're not saying that. But ask for something that your joy may be full. Not something where you'll all the time be saying, but this, that. No. The Lord knows exactly. He knows. And the Lord is like this, friends. This is the nature of God. He didn't just make them a little bit of inferior quality wine. He made them more than sufficient of what they needed. And it was of the most high blessed quality because all that Jesus does is good. It's of the highest of quality. God doesn't know anything except for top quality. Everything he does is first class quality. Now, you think of the feeding of the 5,000. When he fed the 5,000, friends, they were hungry. And the disciples came, they're hungry. He said, you know, should we send them away? He said, no, go and feed them. They said, Master, we don't have enough to feed these people. And what did Jesus do? He could have just given them bread. He could have just given them a small piece of bread each, and then they would have had enough to go away. But he didn't. He gave them bread enough and to spare until afterwards they gathered 12 basket loads of fragments of bread. And he didn't only give them bread, which was sufficient. He gave them fish to use as relish for their bread as well. Friends, God is bountiful in his favors to his children. He's bountiful when he moves on your behalf. What was just a simple wedding at first? Maybe many people were coming saying, well, this isn't such a good wedding. Yeah. And then when now Jesus manifested and the finest of the wine came forth, something just transformed then. And I'm sure people went away from there and were speaking of that wedding for many, many a day, saying, wow, that was a glorious wedding. Why? Because Christ manifests his glory there. Because when he met the needs of his children, he always does it in an abundance. He always does it with a liberality, because that is the nature of God. Now, God, I remember one person once said, he said that God is not like a chemist, that when a chemist is measuring out things, he does it drop by drop, just to make sure. That's not how the Lord bestows goodness upon his children. Now, he pours it out. He says, I will pour out. He says, prove me. Pay your tithes, pay your offering, he says in Malachi, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour it out upon you. And Jesus says, God will give it to you, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, running over. It'll be overflowing when he gives it to you. And God is really, really gracious in his goodness, friends. He really, really is, because that's his nature. That's, he looks down and he sees the needs of his people. That's what the prodigal son said. God is in my father's house because even the servants have bread and to spare. The waters have even leftover bread. Now, they're not rationing their food, worrying about how much they're going to eat. They have bread enough and to spare. Oh, friends, it's a thing to think about. Now, when Elijah came to the widow of Zarephath, when that barrel of meal now, when she now discerned this is the man of God, this is the prophet, and brought the spirit of Elijah into her house, though the circumstances were so difficult, this is an opportunity now when she came to the end of herself for the Lord to show forth his goodness to her. And through the power of thus saith the Lord transformed that situation. And now she had a barrel of meal. And I'm sure every single day it was overflowing. When she'd go and look, she wasn't just taking a little bit off the bottom. It was full. And she had the finest of the wheat, the finest meal, because this was divinely provided for her. And the oil was the finest of the oil. And that's just the goodness of God. When you make him feel welcome in your circumstances, when you acknowledge him in all of your ways, the Lord will manifest himself. When you get to the end of yourself, he'll manifest himself on your behalf. Just be faithful to him and allow him to express who he is. And each and every one of these situations, Peter with his boat. When the Lord manifests himself, said, Peter, thank you for allowing me to use your boat. Let me do something for you now. And he says, cast out your boat. And Peter did. They caught so many fish until the one boat overflowed that you call the Zebedee boys to come with their boat. That boat overflowed with fish. It was just the Lord showing forth his goodness to his people. And friends, he's the same tonight. In whatever need that we have, whatever desire that we have, we want the Lord to show forth the liberality of his goodness on Sunday when we come to his house. We want him to show forth the abundance of his grace when we gather together with his people. We desire that the finest of the oil, the finest of the anointing will come upon our brother Philemon, who will preach for us on Sunday, that the Lord will just minister to the needs of his people. And then as we come to the wedding on Monday, we just desire the finest of the grace of God, the finest of his anointing, the finest of his presence, the finest of his tenderness and compassion and care, the finest of his watchfulness, to be watching over every circumstance and every situation that's taking place. And our part, the only part we have to play, let's just make him feel at home. Let's make him feel at home. Let's stay humble in heart. Let's stay with gratitude to the Lord. Let's get rid of all malice and all the bitterness, like Paul says. Let's lay all those things upon the altar. And let our hearts be filled with good things. And let's come into his house. Let's come to the wedding full of good things to give thanks to the Lord, who gives liberally to us, who gives abundantly. Friends, when God sent us a savior, he sent us more than we needed. Jesus is just everything. He's altogether lovely like me. So when Jesus sent us a message in this day, he didn't just send us just a few little messages that we have scratched through. He sent us an abundance. He says in Joel, when the latter rain falls, he says the vats will be overflowing and the barns, the floors shall be full of wheat. And you shall eat in abundance and you shall rejoice in the Lord your God, who has done wondrously for you. So as we come in prayer, friends, let's come and put these things before the Lord. Make him feel at home. Worship him. Let's come to his feet. Let's speak to him. Let's not tell him what to do, but let's just come and remind him of our need. Let's commit everything into his hands, and let's lift up the hands of all of the people that are involved in all of these activities that are surrounding us and all around us at this time, that the Lord may be the one, that when there's a need, he will supply the need. When there's a gap, he will step into the gap. When there's something we've forgotten, he will bring it to our remembrance, because that's what the Holy Ghost does. And we're praying for the Lord to gender the spirit of unity, the spirit of goodness, so that while we're at the feast, he may feel at home. He may come down and his presence may be among us, and he can show forth his glory. And as we'd come to the end of the day, as we'd leave on Monday, we'll say that was a glorious time. Surely the Lord was pleased in what we did. Oh, friends, don't you desire that? Just to be in his presence. So let's come to pray, friends. Many, many requests about these things. Let's bring them all before the Lord. Let's pray, like I say, for the ministry on Sunday. Let's pray for the saints that are going to be setting up the equipment and that in a new place for us on Sunday. Let's pray for the transport, all the issues of people being moved from place to place for Sunday and for Monday. Let's pray for the wedding. Let's pray for everything just to move with the oil of the Holy Ghost in it. Let's pray when people start getting tired towards the end of all these arrangements and the pressure starts coming in, it needs the grace of God. It needs the refreshing of the Lord to come and encourage and strengthen people once again, and that people can just come and sit at his feet and give it to him. And let him now, like he did at the first wedding, do the same at this wedding. Let him show forth his glory. Let him cover our gaps. Let his goodness manifest itself on behalf of our brother and our sister, that their wedding may be a blessed one like that wedding in Cana. And I do believe that we will have done everything the Lord wants us to do. So let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's ask Brother Wilmore to put some music on there for us. And let's put ourselves before the Lord, saints, and whatever need you have, your personal need, let's approach him like Mary approached him. Let's just come and touch his heart once again. He'll be touched by the feelings of infirmities, and we commit ourselves and commit our ways to him. Let's all pray. Thank you. God bless you, saints. I think it's a good start to pray, but you know, the prayer continues long after the prayer meeting. That's what we desire. Let's stay in the spirit of prayer. Let's stay in the attitude of prayer, that we may be what we're supposed to be. The most important thing we can be is to be in the right spirit. Because if you're in the right spirit, all things are possible. Now the Lord can move and guide and lead in whatever way that he desires. Let's ask Brother Vlad to lead us in one song then we'll ask Brother Wilmore if you would please close for us in a word of prayer. We have a request here from Brother Greg. He says, please, it's a prayer request. A man who said he would like to come to church next week has a sick mother. She is having surgery tomorrow for cancer. I told him we'll pray for her today. He said she would be very happy knowing that, and he very much appreciated. So you just put that one before the Lord and all the other issues, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, Brother Wilmer, may the Lord bless. Let's pray for Brother Max. He has to pick people from the airport at 9 and then drive back. May the Lord strengthen him and help him. And everything else that we've spoken about upon this evening. So, Brother Flood, you lead us in a song, and then we pass over to Brother Wilmore. God bless.
Sweet over my soul, sweet over my soul, sweet spirit, sweet over my soul. My rest is complete when I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Let us pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your grace and your mercy that has kept us through this week. Lord, how thankful, Lord, we are that, Lord, with all the things that we were doing this week, going to school, going to college, going here and there, Lord, going to work. Father, you have kept every one of us, Lord, safe, Lord. And tonight we are gathered again before you, Lord, just to bring thanksgiving and honor unto thee. You have kept us all healthy, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And even beyond all these things, Lord, you have continued to feed us, Lord, spiritually, Lord. Father, through the preaching of the word, blessed be your holy name. Even tonight, Lord, we want to thank you for the word that has been ministered unto us, our wedding juices. And Lord, it speaks not only of the wedding that is before us, even of every situation in our life, oh God. How, Father, it is very important for you, Lord, to be with us in our hours of need, Lord, in our hours of want. Lord, you are there to give us, Lord, Father, the word on what to do, Lord. And if we could only obey, Father, and then we'd open the windows of heaven. So we pray tonight, Father, in our hearts, that, Lord, oh God, you may help us, Father, to have that spirit, Lord, that can be taught, that spirit that is obedient, that is surrendered, that is resting completely in you, Father. Won't you grant it, Lord, that, Father, when we come to times of need, times where we don't know what to do, and we listen to your voice, Lord, and it says, fill the vase with water. Lord, we go and do exactly that and rest in it, Lord. We bless your name, Father. We thank you for this inspired word. Bless our pastor now. Remain his strength and help him, Lord, Father. Oh, God, in his ministry, that it may continue to build, to prepare, and to lead your children. We commit him to your hands, Lord. We pray for our brother Maxwell. Lord, abide the father's business at his age. Never tiring, Lord, going back and forth. And now at the airport waiting for the brethren, we pray for brother Maxwell that you remind his strength, Lord. Let him go in the strength of the Almighty God, that Father, oh God, that he is doing now. May Lord, Father, come to creation, Lord, and bless your children on Sunday, even as our brother is being picked at the airport and stand before your people to minister, Lord. We commit him into your hands, that you use him mightily, Father, to bring another wedding season. We pray, Father, for all the people that are traveling, coming to attend this wedding, some flying, some by road. We pray every one of them, Lord, may arrive safely. Not only that, Lord, but their stay in Ireland, Lord, may be blessed, and that, Lord, oh God, as they go home, may they go on a testimony of how blessed it was to be at the wedding. We pray, Lord, Father, for all the arrangements in place, Lord, for the wedding. We ask, Lord, that you just come and be the one, Lord, that will inspire what is to be done, Lord, and just move things, Lord, in a way, Lord, that afterwards we would look back and say, did not our hearts burn? Father, we commit this wedding into your hands, and we pray, Father, even for, Lord, all the arrangements that are happening even now behind the scenes. We just pray you strengthen all your people, Lord, Father, and give them wisdom in all that is needed to bring success through this wedding. And we want to pray for this prayer request that's been, Lord, put before us of this man whose mother is going through surgery. Lord, it did not come to us in vain, but that, Father, oh God, you wanted it mentioned before the saints, that prayer could be made. So we come on the behalf of this man and ask, Lord, that you would come and touch his mom. Lord, that this surgery may be successful, for we know, Lord, that you heal through love, you heal through music, you heal through medicine, you heal through surgery. May you do that this will be the healing for this lady, and that, Father, will be a testimony that will turn men to righteousness. We commit this family into your hands. Yes, now every family, every brother, every sister, Lord, may you renew the strength of thy people, having waited all week, Lord, now coming to the end of the week. We pray, Father, that you will come and touch each and every one of us and drive away sicknesses and tiredness, and that, Father, we would be of full strength again this Sunday, Lord, as we would meet to gather and worship you together, Lord. We ask all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Bless our brother Vladimir, who stood in the post of duty. We pray, Father, that you would also continue to use him in his ministry, and all the other musicians, Lord, we commit to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wilmer. God bless saints. May the Lord bless all the saints helping tomorrow with the different things that are being done. And we meet you on Sunday by the grace of God at DCU. I'm sure it'll be a real blessing. Looking forward to it. There'll be a lot of people we don't know, so there's a chance to make new friends, new fellowship, new opportunity as well. Let's hand over to Brother Vlad to give us a couple of songs to finish. Have a good night, saints. Until we meet, may God bless you.
I've been delivered, praise the Lord. I've been delivered by his grace. All the bonds of sins are broken. I've been delivered, praise the Lord. There is a big change. I am so happy, I am so free, into me, just liberty, big change in me, I've been delivered, praise the Lord. His grace, oh, since I'm broken, I've been delivered, praise the Lord. There is a big change in me, I am so happy, I am so happy. Out of bondage, out of liberty, big change in me.
I've been the glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Friday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord. It was on a Wednesday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Friday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
May God bless you, saints.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. God bless you, Brother Stiles. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.